Sunday, 11th of July, Kof Tes Tammuz, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, Medium and Message, the Prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu.
First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers of the Torah Way for the, not only for today's opportunity to learn, but for the tremendous amount of work that goes into making these things possible every day. I don't know how Rabbi Itzkowitz does it, but it must be an amazing amount of preparation. Let's talk about the question of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we are entering now the beginning of the Sefer, that is his Sefer, as it were, Sefer Dvarim Israeli, words that he said, Ela Dvarim Moshe Dibur Moshe. Hashem agreed, of course, and became Torah, but these are, in some sense, his words, different than the rest of Chumash, and it's an opportunity to talk about the meaning of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we know that his Nevuah was on a different level than other Nevi'im. The Rambam lists the criteria that make him different. And other Nevi had to be asleep in order to get a Nevuah. He didn't have to be. They were knocked out of their senses and collapsed. He was able to stand. He was able to initiate the Nevuah. The Rambam lists five differences between his Nevuah and others. But let's take a deeper look at this and see if we can gain some clarity as to what it means that his Nevuah was on a different level than others. For those who have an interest or a feeling for the more plemiastika expression, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that he saw through an Aspaklaria HaMa'ira. Other Nevi'im saw through an Aspaklaria She'ena Ma'ira. The simple understanding of that is that his vision, and obviously called a Chayzer, he sees, and he sees through a lens that is unclouded. Other Nevi'im see through a lens that has a color or has some sense of refraction. That means other Nevi'im see things through the refraction of their own personalities. That's why no two Nevi'im speak in the same style. Moshe Rabbeinu sees through a lens that is not clouded at all. What exactly does that mean? I mean, for those who have a Musa feel, Rav Dessler used to say something especially beautiful about this, and that is that the difference between a clear lens and a clouded lens is, one of the differences is that when you see through a clouded lens, when you see through a clear lens, you see the thing itself. When you see through a clouded lens, you see somewhat of a reflection of yourself. The more clouded the lens is, the more you see of yourself. The less clear the lens is, the more opaque it is, the more it reflects you. Of course, a person who has an ego, that means a person whose self is not clarified and transparent, so when he sees through the lens of his own clouded personality, he sees more and more of himself. Of course, the more clouded his lens is, the less he's aware that he has an ego problem, and the more he thinks he's seeing objective reality. But a person who has the problem of his own ego, hasn't clarified his personality and divested himself of ego completely, such a person sees reality and it always has the shape of his own being, really, and therefore really only always sees himself. Everything that he sees is really an expression of his own needs and his own fulfillment, whereas a person who has completely divested himself of ego sees things as they actually are. That's a very beautiful Musa expression of the same idea. In order to understand a bit more deeply this issue of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, a good place to start is the Ikrim. Now, the Rambam gives us 13 Ikrim, 13 fundamental aspects, pillars, if you like, or creedal statements on which Torah stands. And one of them is very perplexing. Let me read you the problem. These Ikrim that we have in the Siddur that many people say every day, of course, are not exactly the Rambam's words. Someone else, a contemporary of the Rambam, phrased these Ikrim, although they follow exactly his more detailed listing of the Ikrim that he gives in his commentary to the Mishnah. But this is a very useful digest of these 13 Ikrim. Another very useful and concise statement of these 13 you will find in Yigdal. So in Yigdal you'll find the same 13. And here's the problem. Each statement here obviously is fundamental. This is, we're talking about the basis of Torah itself. These are the Ikrim. Ikrim means a sherish or a root. And the Rambam lists as one of these 13 something extremely difficult to understand. Each of these is obviously fundamental. Ani ma'amin be'emuna shleima, I believe with the perfect faith, she'bor yisbach, Shmoy hu boirei manig l'kol habruim, Hashem is the one who creates and conducts the affairs. You'll find this in all, especially in the deepest Svarim, they always emphasize these two elements. Boirei manig, in other words, the one who creates things as they are, and the one who conducts the affairs of those things. In conventional modern English, you would say space and time. Boire means he sets up the reality as it is, and manik means he conducts it through its time course. Right? All those two dimensions, there are three dimensions to the world. Ashan, Oilam Shana Nefesh, the three dimensions of the world, Vahar Ashan Kuloi. Ashan means Oilam, which is the world itself. Shana means time, as the world moves through its course. And Nefesh, the human, the spiritual dimension, which is neither space nor time. So the Rambam mentions those two in the first one. And the second one, that Hashem is Yachid Ve'en Yechidus Kamayu, that is single. The third, that he is Enoi Guf, Ve'elo Shum Dimyon Klal. Hashem has no body and he has no image, not even some Kabbalistic diagram, nothing you can picture at all. Four, that Hu Rishon Ve'achron, Hashem is first and last. Five, that he is the only one to whom it's fitting to speak, or in the language of the this phrasing here, Loi Levado Roi Lispalel, he's the only one that it's fitting to daven to. Ve'en Roi Lispalel Zuloso, we have no intermediaries. We're allergic in Yiddishkeit to any sense of intermediaries. Hashem is, we deal directly with the source and no intermediary. The order of these ikrim, by the way, is first he tells you what we have to say about Hashem, then about Hashem's communication with us, right? That means no intermediaries, Torah, Nevuah, right? All the way down to the end of history. So there's a Seder here. But this is that there's no intermediary. And then number six is this. Ani ma'amin b'emuna shlema shekol divrei nevi'im emes. That all the words of the Nevi'im are true. Obviously, if there's no communication between Hashem and us, then we cannot be aware of what He wants from us, and then there's no purpose to being here. And therefore, after we've discussed what we can say about Hashem and about our speaking to Him, namely Tefillah, we speak about His speaking to us, which is called Nevuah. And here comes the surprise. Zayin. Ani ma'amin b'emuna shlema, I believe with a perfect faith, Shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom, Haisa Amitis, that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was true. He was the father of the prophets, those who came before him and those who came after. Obviously, we're not talking about chronological father, because he says he was the father of those who came before him. Obviously, he was the root, he was the archetype, if you like. He was the source through which all Nevuah manifests beyond the sense of time. But the real question to struggle with here is, why do you need a separate ikkar stating that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was a different category of Nevuah? In Vav, you say like this, She'kol divrei nevim emes, ani ma'amin ve'emunah shleva, she'kol divrei nevim emes. I believe that all the words of the prophets are true. That certainly includes Moshe Rabbeinu. If there's one Navi that it certainly includes, it has to be him. So you've already stated, this person believes, this person who is constructing his spiritual world on these fundamental principles, states that he believes that the Nevuah of all the Nevim is true. And then he has a separate ikkah that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was true as well. And in some sense true in a different way that theirs is because he's the father of all prophets. Why is this worth a separate ikkah? You've already said for sure that you believe that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is true. This is not a validation of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That you've already said. In Zion, what you're saying is that he was different than other Nevim. It turns out from this list that is a fundamental of Torah. That's something fundamental missing from Torah. If you understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, but you don't understand that he was different than other Navim. Why is it that fundamental? To make this question clearer, there's a very interesting insight that we can add to it as follows. An embarrassingly simple question is, a very, very embarrassingly obvious question is, where did this Ikrim come from? You know, the Rambam lists us 13 Ikrim. An Ikrim is something fundamental. Everything else stands on the Ikrim. Where do you get them from? If you look through the whole text of Tanakh, you will not find 13 Ikrim. There's no place in Torah anywhere that 13 Ikrim are listed. Ikrim we're talking, we're not talking about details, we're talking about fundamentals. Not only that, but in the whole of Torah Shabbat Peh, you won't find these 13 things. If you look through all the Mishnah, you will not find 13 fundamentals. Where did the Rambam do this? The Rambam was a codifier. He put together sources, and he assembled the sources for us in the particular form that he did. Where on earth do we get... We're talking fundamentals here. And there's no source. What is the meaning of this? So there's a wonderful argument about this. One approach to these Ikrim is that of the Bala Ikrim and others who think along these lines, that these things are philosophically fundamental. In other words, you don't need them to be listed. You can extract them from the whole body of Torah by understanding that these are the things, when you build a building, there's some things that are foundation and other things that are put on top of the foundation. They are foundational things. If you pull away another thing, the building doesn't collapse. If you pull away the foundation, the building collapses. Therefore, philosophically, that means in the structure of the Machshavah of Torah, these things are fundamental because without them, the rest of the structure doesn't stand. If you don't have Hashem in the picture, you don't have anything. If you don't have anything that's essential to know about Hashem, like His oneness, His incorporeality, etc., or you speak to intermediaries, which is Avodah Zarah, then you've collapsed the whole structure. That is not the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam's opinion is not necessarily that these 13 things are fundamentally, are philosophically fundamental. He doesn't disagree with the fact that they are that, but that's not his makor. The source for the Rambam is very clear when you identify it, and in fact it is listed in a Mishnah, and the Rambam lists it very clearly in Hilchos Tshuva. What the Rambam does in Hilchos Tshuva is this: in the third perek, the Rambam goes through 13 things that are so dangerous that if you break one of these things, you're spiritually dead. Right? That means like this. The Rambam has a listing of things, averus, that means things that a person can do that are not only spiritually damaging, but that cause the loss of an neshama completely. Here's the language of the Rambam. I mean, this is very scary, but once we're frightening ourselves, we might as well terrify ourselves. So, let me read you what he says. He says, "Ve'elu ein she'enam chelek l'olam haba." These are people who have no share in the world to come. "Ela nichrasin v'oevdin," but they are cut off and lost. "Al goedel risham," for the greatness, the enormity of their sin, v'chatosam. "Le'olam le'ol me'olamin." That's very chilling, by the way. That's le'olam le'ol me'olamin. You know, this is a rishon who doesn't waste a word. This is not just this is le'olam le'ol me'olamin. Okay, I mean, for those who have weak hearts, you know, there is good news. And the good news is that the Mishnah that this comes from is the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelik and Sanhedrin, in some other places. There the Mishnah says this, that these are those who have no share in the world to come. And later the Gemara says, Deisha Rishumis Emrim, those who delve deeply show that every neshama eventually gets to Olam Haba. So eventually, at least part of every neshama, whether the nefesh gets there or not, that's a fascinating debate, not for now. But nevertheless, at face value, these are neshamas that get cut off completely. And then the Rambam lists who they are. These are the categories of people who have no share in the world to come. Haminim, we'll have to explain what this means. Apikosin, which is a different type of denial. Kofrim Batera, those who deny Torah. Kofrim Tchias Amesin, those who deny the resurrection. Biasagel, those who deny the coming of Mashiach. Hamerudim, later the Rambam explains exactly what each of these categories means. What is a merid exactly? Machdiya Harabim, those who lead the community astray. Hypershim Edarke Tzibur, people who are divorcing themselves from the Jewish community. By the way, this doesn't mean, Machdiya Rabim does not mean somebody who leads the community astray in any serious fashion. Rambam makes it very plain on the next Amud that these are people who lead a community astray even in malite matters. They just take a community away from a mitzvah's essay, for example. They don't have to be people who do to the community something bad enough to cause a loss of the world to come. They can do something very minor. The point is it's against the Jewish community. That's the point. In other words, there's an offense here against Knesset Israel, which is the source of an attachment to Olam Haba, and a person who severs that by misleading a community, even in something relatively minor, loses share. By the way, there's something unique about that. I was just pointing out to you. You know that in this list, the Rambam gives you the things that cause a loss of the world to come. In the next parak, the Rambam gives a list of things that are very hard to do tshuva for. Very hard. 24 things that are very hard to do tshuva for. What would be really scary is if there's something in both lists. That means in this list, 13 things that you lose your share in the world to come for, doesn't mean they're hard to do tshuva for. Fortunately, you might have done one of these things. You could correct it easily. The next list is things that aren't necessarily that bad, but they're things you can't correct. Imagine if there was something in both lists. That would be awesome. That would be something that loses your share in the world to come that you can't correct. This is the only one. Machti Arabim. That Machti Arabim. That means you're talking here about people who lead a community astray. Some community, let's say, calls himself rabbi, and tells his community that we don't have to do Shabbos on Shabbos, we can do it on Sunday. Or we can, you know, we'll change a couple of these. I don't like to mention any names, but these are people who, let's say, try to reform certain details in Torah, or perhaps they try to conserve certain things in Torah. But these are people who, and you know, on one page here it says, Machti Arabim are people who lose a share in the world to come. On the very next page, these cannot be corrected. Those people must have nerves of steel. I mean, you know, some of them can read Hebrew. So here they have two pages, right? One page which says you're spiritually dead. The next page says you can't correct it. You know, that's got to admire their strength. Anyway, so that's... And then the Rambam goes into the rest of the list, which is Poshim Midarkei Tzibur. Somebody separates himself from the Jewish community. Again, doesn't mean somebody who divorces himself from Torah and mitzvahs. Just a person who doesn't do them together with the communities, doesn't identify with that shurish called Knesset Israel. And he goes on to explain, somebody who, before Hesia, publicly denies a mitzvah, or he does transgressions in a high-handed fashion, Kehoyakim, etc. He gives a whole list of those things that are cause a loss of the share of the world to come. people terrify the community for no good reason, people who are murderers, it's also here, Bale Lashon Hara, right next to murderers, and a Moshech Olasa is somebody who tries to undo his bris milah and show that he's not circumcised. This is a list of things that lose a person a share in the world to come. Now the Rambam begins defining what these categories mean. Listen well to this. Chamisha hena nikra minim. He goes back to the first category, which is a person called a min. Min means, a min is a very, very deprecating term. It means a species. A person who's called a min means a person who hasn't even risen to the level of being human. It means he's one of the species of creatures, right? So a person who's not attached to anything higher than the biological reality. And there are five categories in this category called minim. Ha'emesh she'en shame loika. Somebody says there's no God, ve'en lo elam manik. And there's no master of the world. In other words, the Rambam is here listing, and he doesn't make these up, the Rambam is here collecting from the Mishnah the 13 categories of people who have no share in the world to come. And all the Ikrim are is the converse of these principles. In other words, there are 13 things that if you do them, you lose your share in the world to come. The Ikrim are simply the positive phrasing of these negative things. What the Rambam's done is he's taken the 13 things that are spiritual death, and he said these are the things to attach yourself to because they mean an attachment to spiritual life. All the Ikrimah is the reverse phrasing of the 13 things that the Mishnah lists as the cause of spiritual death. And let me read it to you, it's very obvious. 1. Somebody says there's no God and the world has no master. 1. Is a boire umanik le kol abruim. You couldn't be more obvious. He's the boire and the manik. Exactly the same two features. So all he's done is the Rambam has taken 13 categories of spiritual death and he's listed them. These are the things to God. I would say, if you want a medical analogy, these 13 things are the vital organs in the body. The vital organs in the body, right? There's some parts of the body you do an injury, it's not nice, but you won't die. There's other things like your jugular vein and some vessels in the heart and some parts of the brain. A very small injury, instant death. These are the 13 things. Other avarice in Torah injure you spiritually. You're bleeding, you're damaged. These things are lethal. You do one of these, you're dead. By the way, lethal injury is not necessarily hard to correct. You cut your jugular vein, it's no big deal. Put your finger on it, stop the bleeding, you'll be okay. Doesn't mean that something that's lethally dangerous is hard to fix. Tshuva can be done. But these are the things that are spiritual death. And therefore, I think the thing is like this, is that if you are going to the army and you have to kill enemy soldiers, these are the things to shoot for. These are the vital organs. You have to kill somebody, this is what you want to do. When you're making body armor, these are the organs you want to protect. The list of 13 things that are lethally dangerous, that's what's listed in the Mishnah. The Ikrim was simply, this is where you put your body armor, because these are your lethal, these are your vulnerable zones that will kill you, and therefore, is this clear there? And it's very clear. The first one I read. The second one, number two. Ha'imashiyei shammanik. Somebody who says there is a master of the world. But there are two or more. Number two. He's one and there's no oneness like his. Number three. Somebody who says there is a master of the world, then he is one. But he has a body or an image. Number three. He is no body and no image. I mean, it couldn't be more exact, one for one. Four. Somebody who says Hashem is not the first cause. 4. Did I convince you? Yeah. 5. Somebody who serves a star or a zodiac, anything else, to be an intermediary between him and Hashem. Number 5. He's the only one to whom it's fitting to daven, and no other thing or intermediary at all. It's very, very clear that the 13 Ikrim are not simply philosophical fundamentals, they may be that as well, but they are the converse phrasing of the 13 things that are spiritual death. We don't have time to go into it now because you don't give me enough time, but I'll mention just briefly a homework exercise, which is a very interesting thought. If you get this right, Rabbi Itzkovitz is going to buy you a whiskey. Cocaine, I don't know, whatever you're into. And that is this. The list of 13 has one discrepancy. In the list of 13 fundamentals, the Rambam has, yeah? In the list of the Mishnah from where they come, the one missing. There's one missing. In the 13 fundamentals, the 11th one is Schar V'Enesh. that Hashem rewards those who do His mitzvahs and punishes those who transgress His commandments. You'll find this in Yigdal as well, but it's not found in the source. When you read the 13 categories of spiritual death, the Rambam has one split into two, so he has 13, but he does not have Schar V'Onesh. And these two lists are so clearly one based on the other. What is going on? Why is it that a person needs to know as a fundamental that Hashem rewards and punishes, but when you go and look for it in the source, it's not there? What does that mean? Or put it another way, I would even more challenging, why is it that it's essential spiritual information to attach you to the spiritual world to know that there's reward and punishment, but if you deny it, you're not spiritually dead? Well, that's what it says. It's here in the list of Ikrim. You need to know that the Schar V'Onesh, Hashem rewards and punishes, absolutely fundamental. But if you deny it, you leave it out of the yeah, no problem, you're not, doesn't harm you. What does that mean? Very, very interesting thought. And there's a big prize for the correct answer. But nevertheless, you see here now, if this is true, it leads us to some very deep challenge. And the challenge is number six is that you believe that all the words of the Nevi'im are true. Number seven is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevi'ah is true. If we correct in what we said up to now, it means that that is spiritually vital. That means a person who denies the Nevi'ah of Moshe Rabbeinu is spiritually dead. A person who accepts all the Ikrim, that all the words of all the Nevi'im are true. He has that clear. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevi'ah is true. But he doesn't have the seventh Ikkah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was different than other Nevi'im, spiritually dead. He just cut his jugular vein. That's serious? It's that serious to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different than other Nevi'im? Not just that he was true, but that he's different? That's spiritual life and death? What does that mean? So, just to begin to understand this, there's an incredible discussion, and I use that word advisedly, in the Rabbein Avrom ben Arambam. He has a perush on Chumash, which is printed in the Sefer HaMaspik. I'm not sure if he had a perush on the whole Chumash. We have only Breshis and Shmosh. Whether we don't have the rest or whether he never wrote it, I'm not sure. But there you'll find Breshis and Shmosh listed. And at the very beginning of his perush and Shmosh, he says something which is literally out of this world. And I'm saying it because he says it. He says, I'm going to explain something very perplexing to you. I heard this from my father, who heard it from the Gaon. He's talking about the generation of the Gaonim. And this is uniquely beautiful. And it's very, very rare that you'll hear a Rishon say that something is about to tell you is special. Rishonim speak very, very short. They're no flowery stuff, and there's no extra words, and there's no praise of what they're about to tell you. So this has to be something unique. I heard this from my father, and this is a uniquely beautiful... So you'll find it in the first couple of paragraphs in Shmos. And here's what he says. When Hashem speaks to Moshe for the first time, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell Paroi that you have a... Tell the Paroi and the Jewish people that it's come time to... it's time to let them go. And here's the conversation. Hashem says to him, "Go and tell Paroi that you have to let the Jewish people go." And Moshe says to Hashem, "Be Hashem, lo ish dvarim anochi. I cannot speak normally, right? Because I have a problem with a kikvad peh v'kvad loshem anochi. I have a problem with speech. Of course, we have no time to go into it now. But the Maral points out this was not a defect. People think that Moshe Rabbeinu had some problem. He didn't have a problem. Maral says he couldn't speak properly because he was holding so high." Is holding in a world where things are as they are. Those things can't be put into words. Things as they are not what the words say. The words are always lies. The words are always a finite, specific packaging of things that go far beyond what the words can say. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak because he was holding where he saw things in the infinite connection. He saw things as they are. The reason he couldn't bring them down into words is because of his perfection. Now, Maral points out that after the Torah was given, he spoke normally. Because after the nace had been performed of taking infinite wisdom and putting it into a finite Torah, then he could speak normally. Once he was part of that nace, he spoke. But before that, he couldn't speak. It was his perfection, not his imperfection. But nevertheless, he couldn't speak. So Hashem said to him, "Misam pel adam, who created the human being's mouth? Or mi yasum ilem, or cherish, etc. I created you, and I give you the ability. Now go, listen to these words. I will be with your mouth. I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what to say. Hereisicha means I will teach you, or I will make you pregnant. I will put within you, as it were, impregnation of the message. Etc. Hashem gets angry with him and says, Aaron achicha halevi, your brother Aaron yedati ki daber yedaberu. He will speak for you. And you will mention the words to him. You will put the words in his mouth. and I will be with your mouth and his mouth. Again, I will teach you, I will make you pregnant, as it were. He will speak for you to the people. He will be a mouth for you. You will be an Elohim to him. Very hard word to translate. Rishonim say it means you will be an emanation of power from me, you will be an angel, a malach. Very hard word to translate. That's the conversation. The problem is what most people don't notice, and Rabbeinu Avrom points out to us, is that in Parshas Vayera the conversation continues. And here's how it continues. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe leimor, Ani Hashem, daber al Paroi melech Mitzrayim, go and tell him what to say. Tell him, Asher ani devar alecha, what I will tell you. Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem, hein ani aros vasayim. But I cannot speak normally. Ve'ech yishma elef, how will Paroi hear me? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, re'ein esatikha Elohim lefaroi. I have made you, again this problematic word, some sort of emanation of Aaron Achicha Yen Neviecho, and Aaron your brother will be your prophet. And the conversation ends. So listen to how the conversation runs. It goes like this. Hashem says, Moshe, go and tell Paroi the following message. Moshe says, Hashem, I can't speak normally. Hashem says, don't worry, Aaron will speak for you. Moshe says, but I can't speak properly. And Hashem says, no, Aaron Achicha Yen Neviecho, Aaron will speak for you. What happened? Why did he not hear the first time? What was this broken? And he explains as follows. Here's how the conversation went. Hashem said, Moshe, go and tell Paroi the following message. And Moshe says, but I cannot speak normally. Hashem says, don't worry, Aaron will speak for you. At that point, Moshe turns back to Hashem and says, but Hashem, that won't work. In the dinim of Nevuah is a laws that a Novi has to say his own Nevuah. The Rambam actually brings these dinim. A Novi has to say his own Nevuah on pain of death. If he tries not to say it, that's called Kevesh Nevuasoi, pain of death. How do we know from? From? Yoina. When Yoina tried not to... So Novi has to say his own. But not only that, he has to say it and he has to say his own. He's not allowed to say it to somebody else. The Novi gets said because he has to say it. And no other Novi is allowed to say it. And that's on pain of death. And by the way, in Kabbalah is written that when a Novi refuses to say his own Nevuah, who gives aidus against him? All the other Nevi'im. Because when a Nevuah comes down, it comes down on the wavelength of all the Nevi'im in that generation. There are some exceptions, but that's a general rule. Therefore, every Novi gets the Nevuah, and they all know that it's his and not theirs, because it comes with his name on. And they know that he has to say it on pain of death, and they're not allowed to say it, and he's not allowed to say it to anybody else, for them to be a spokesman. So Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, how will that work? You're telling me that I must say my Nevuah to my brother Aaron, and he will go and say it over for me. You wrote the rules. In your Torah it says that a Navi is not allowed to do that. Right? And therefore, how will it help? And Hashem said, no, you don't understand. Hashem said, you don't understand. I don't mean that. I know that a Navi is not allowed to say his Nevuah to somebody else. I write the rules. I know that. But you got me wrong. You misunderstand. You don't know what your Madrega is. I'm going to give you the Nevuah, and you will not be a Navi speaking to Aaron, your brother. You will be the Nevuah, and Aaron will be the Navi. Aaron Achicha Yeh Nevi'echo. I will make you an Elohim leParoi. You're not going to be a Navi speaking a message to a man who will speak out your Nevuah. You'll be the Nevuah. The medium and the message are one. And Aaron will receive his own Nevuah, namely you. And he'll be the Navi. We're not breaking any rules. And that's the meaning of Aaron Achicha Yeh Nevi'echo. He will be your Navi. You're not going to be on the Madrega of a Navi. You're going to be on the Madrega of a Nevuah. That means...
Beautiful, huh?
Other Nevi'im get a message and it comes out refracted through their personality, whatever the personality is. That's why no two Nevi'im speak in the same style. But Moshe Rabbeinu has no style. There's no spin, there's no style, there's no. He opens his mouth and the Shekhinah speaks. That means when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, you are hearing, and this has many consequences, just mention one of them, but of course the main one is that when you learn Torah, you're not listening to the words of a Navi. Unlike all the rest of Nach, when you study any words of Nach, you are hearing Hashem dictating to a Navi who speaks it out in his style. That means his lens. His lens projects the light. It's Hashem's light, but it has the color and the pattern of his lens. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, you are not hearing a Navi. He opens his mouth and Hashem speaks. It's a completely different category. I've just mentioned as a final, many applications of this. And it's absolutely fundamental. It's worthy of being one of the 13 Ikrim. This is not simply that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ikka here is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is so clear that when he speaks, this is not another Navi speaking in a slightly higher fashion. You're talking here, the difference here is between the Nevuah of a Navi and Hashem himself speaking. And therefore, Ikev Yochel, when you're learning Torah, it's like you become the Navi. When Kal Yisrael spirit Matan Torah, it's not like they're hearing Torah through a Navi like the rest of Nach. they themselves are becoming the Nevi'im, and Moshe Rabbeinu is irrelevant, as it were. He's only the channel that makes it possible to hear Hashem himself. One application, we'll finish with this, is that Rassim Chavasserman used to put it like this. It's one of the applications. Gemara Megillah says that when Nach was translated, into Aramaic, there was, when the Targum was made in Nach, there was an earthquake in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Megillah says, Daf Yud Gimel, I think it is. The Gemara says that because when they came to the words Bebikas Hadadrimon, in Nach there's a description of a battle that took place in a place called Hadadrimon, so it was impossible to translate. How do you translate a place name? There's a big question in Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum. The place is a Tosfos on this in the beginning of Brachas. How do you translate words that can't be translated, like words that, and how do you say the Targum of words like that? So the question is like this. There was no way to translate that word, and because of that there was an earthquake. Rav Wasserman used to explain, the problem is this, that when you're doing a Targum, you have to translate. So you come to a word that's a place name, how do you translate it? If you're going to translate, if you won't translate it, you leave it as it was in the original, you haven't done a Targum. If you translate it, you're revealing something that wasn't revealed in the original. Because every place name, every word in Torah has meaning. Now if you're going to translate it in a way that reveals the meaning to me, you also haven't done the correct translation. In the original it was hidden, it was only a name. So there's an earthquake means an oscillation between two positions. There's a shaking here. Are you going to leave it untranslated? You've done an incomplete translation. Are you going to translate and reveal something hidden? You've done something excessive. And there's an earthquake. That's what the Gemara says. So Rav Simcha used to say, how come when Chumash was translated there's no earthquake? You have at least two Targumim. You have Targum of Torah itself in the same Aramaic. There's no mention anywhere there was any earthquake. This was his own question. How come when Nach is translated it's a big problem? Chumash is translated, no problem at all. So Simcha used to say as follows. I don't remember if he told us he heard it from his father, from the Chofetz Chaim, but this is what he said. He said that every word in Torah hides many, many layers. In endless layers of meaning, beneath meaning, beneath meaning, endless layers. How does the Torah hide the hidden meanings? So there are two ways to hide a thing, he used to say. One way of hiding something is called nista. Nista is where you hide a thing. But there's another way to hide something, that's called mechuse. Mechuse means it's covered. What's the difference? When you hide something in a way that is nista, no one sees that there's anything there. When you hide a thing in a way that is mechuse, people don't see what there is, but they see there's something there. I'll never forget the way he used to demonstrate it to us. If any one of you knew the simple lesson, you have to just picture this. He used to say like this, when I go through customs, now you have to picture him doing this, and I have something I don't want the man to see. There's two ways I can do it. One is I can put it under my coat like this, and I can walk through customs like this. The fellow doesn't see what I have, but he sees I have something. On the other hand, I can sew it into the lining of my coat, and I walk through. Then he doesn't see what I have, but he doesn't even see I have anything. This is called mechuse. Mechuse means you can't see what I have, but you see there's something there. Nista means you don't see what I have, you don't even see that I have anything. The hidden meanings in Nach are all mechuse. The way Nach is written, the skill, the craft, the cunning of the Navi is at a level where it enables him to hide things in a way that you can't see what he's saying, but you see there's something there. You come to a word, Hadadrimon, there's something there. What it is, I don't know. Chumash is written in such a way that there's no problem at all. In Chumash, what's hidden is Nista. A six-year-old can read through Chumash from beginning to end and have no problem with anything. It's all clear and not even realize that there are things being hidden because the craft, he used to say, the skill, the cunning, I'm talking about Hashem himself, is so deep that it's a completely different. The parameters governing Chumash are completely different than they are Gamila. So what we studied today was the subject of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. It's a different level than other Nevi'im. And to put it most plainly in the words of Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, he's not a Navi on a higher level, he is a vessel through which the message itself speaks.